You've worked hard since you arrived in the city, gained loads of experience, developed your skills. Everywhere you look, you see something you helped build. But now, you're looking to the future. And maybe you're thinking about where you come from. In Ireland, we need planners, carpenters, plumbers, roofers, engineers, architects, site managers, and more. We need you, with all your skills and knowledge, to help us build thousands of homes. You've built the world. Now come back and build the home that built you. For more information, visit gov.ie/buildingIreland. Brought to you by the Government of Ireland.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
John Gibbons with us for our weekly Last Word on the environment. Usn't there be a thing, a carbon budget each year?
Well, we've had what we've had, Matt, since about 2020, is that we have a carbon tax that is ratcheted up every year. It was agreed back then that it would increase steadily at the rate of €7.50 a year, every year, until it hit, it's on target to hit €100 per tonne by 2030. So that's a ratchet mechanism. And the purpose really of it, first of all, of course, the purpose of a carbon budget is to, the purpose of a tax like this isn't really primarily a revenue raising exercise. It's to, I suppose, make the things we want to do less of more expensive, to help us to fund the things we want to do more of.
Oh yeah, sorry, but I know you mean by the carbon tax, and I was getting to that, but there used to be a carbon budget. There was an environmental budget, a separate statement to the budget, which seems to have disappeared, isn't it? And then in the budget speeches by Pascal Donoghue and Jack Chambers on Tuesday, it was as if environmental concerns have disappeared now that the Greens are no longer in government, wasn't it?
That's absolutely clear. And I think that remark was made in the run into the 2024 election, I think, by one of the Greens at the time. They said that the government parties had to be dragged, quote, kicking and screaming on climate issues. And it's pretty obvious, Matt, from the budget speech, where, as you said, it was effectively climate was edited out. And these, by the way, are the very same politicians, like Jack Chambers, for example, who was made passionate speeches 12 months ago in budget 2025 about the government's commitment to climate. So clearly they feel now that they're off the hook, and it seems to be open season now, basically. And it's all backpedaling. And we saw that, for example, earlier this week, where Darragh O'Brien, the climate minister, for want of a better description.
No, his title is the Minister for Climate, Energy and the Environment.
Yeah, absolutely. Darragh O'Brien, commenting on the budget, he described estimates put forward by the Fiscal Advisory Council, IFAC, and the Climate Change Advisory Council, the CCAC, that we're facing fines of between 8 and 26 billion euros. O'Brien described these as, quote, back of the envelope stuff. So it's a...
Hold on now. Yeah. He said also there's no formula, there's no calculation that is agreed at all. And the range between 8 and 26 billion is pretty large. And what he also said is something that I think a lot of people are starting to believe, because of the way political things are happening in Europe and because of the backlash against environmental measures, that these missed climate targets in 2030 will not be punished, that Ireland will not end up being fined anything significant.
Yeah, I suppose O'Brien has taken his cue from Micheál Martin, who's another guy who's been backpedaling at a frantic rate since the end of the last administration. I think earlier this year, Micheál Martin, in fact it was March of this year, described these possible fines as highly speculative. So clearly this is coming from the head of the government, where Micheál Martin himself is backpedaling and putting the word out to his ministers that we're going to try to wriggle out of our climate obligations. But also...
Sorry, hang on now. Okay. We won't wriggle out of climate. Let's deal with the issue of what fines are coming.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that they're hearing from around Europe. Is that because there are many other countries that are in the same position as us, that given the budgets that are required in Europe and the budgets that are going to be devoted as well to increase in defence because of the threat from Russia, that Europe is not going to handicap itself economically by having enormous fines levied on its governments? That's what they're saying. They're not reducing the amount of money that they're devoting to climate change issues. I mean, for example, in this particular budget, there's a retrofit budget of €558 million, isn't there? There's €500 million of the Infrastructure, Climate and Nature Fund, which is going to projects. for climate change.
Okay, but let's go back for a moment, Matt, to the matter at hand, and this is these fines coming down the line from the EU. The question here is, who do we trust? Do we trust a government minister who clearly has no interest in his brief when it comes to climate? My measured opinion on Darragh O'Brien is that he has no interest whatsoever in the climate brief. And on this, I mean, everything that the man has done since he's come into power, come into office, for example, of course, he's been an outstanding supporter of Dublin Airport expansion, and he attempted to justify it by claiming that we're going to have sustainable aviation fuels. Even Michael O'Leary, not a noted environmentalist, has said that that is nonsense. So we have a situation where the climate minister is trying to pretend that we can have massive aviation expansion and the hell with the climate. We know that. The same Darragh O'Brien pushed LNG.
Let me just come back to the aviation thing for a second, because isn't it the case that if Dublin Airport doesn't accept flights and keeps a limit on the number of flights, that isn't going to do anything for carbon emissions globally, because those flights will simply go elsewhere?
That's a very reductive argument.
No, Matt. It's actually, you can actually calculate it. The planes are there, right?
Right.
Planes have been built. The owners of the planes will fly them. And if the various airlines can't fly into Dublin, they will fly from the United States into Manchester, or they will fly into London, or they will fly to continental Europe. They'll fly somewhere else, because once the planes are built and when they're operating, they'll fly. Mm. And we can turn around and say, we don't want these flights to come into Ireland, and that'll help with global with carbon emissions. It won't. It just shifts them somewhere else.
I know. Again, that type of thinking is what got us into this mess in the first place, where this is very much like the, you know, why do anything in Ireland because of the Chinese, right? It's the same approach. It's getting us nowhere. Every country has its own obligations. Ireland has its climate obligations. We already, and again, I don't want to devote the whole section to aviation yet again, but we already, Matt, have through Dublin Airport, one airport with an island with a population of 5 million people, we already are on track for, I think, 35 million passenger movements through this one little airport, right? Now, you might say that that's inconsequential and they'll just go somewhere else, but we have this concept in aviation, as we have it in transport, called induced demand. The more facilities that we make, the more airports we open, the more routes that we build, we're building out demand. Now, at a time when the science is screaming at us, Matt, that we have to constrain demand, and rich, prosperous countries like Ireland, it's an outrage for us to be pushing forward demand in high, and I'll tell you what's more of an outrage, is to have your climate minister being the guy who's driving this. In any other country, he would be laughed out of office, the idea that our climate minister is the guy in Ireland who's pushing more aviation, more LNG, and less climate action.
Okay, so you're not happy with this week's budget?
Not completely happy with this week's budget, and certainly not at all happy with our, for want of a better word, our climate minister. I think it's the fact that he's even in that position clearly indicates how far down the agenda this particular government sees climate issues. I mean, you mentioned, for example, okay, some of the budgets around retrofitting and so on, they have been held in place. But let's go back to some of the other ones you mentioned. You talked about the 500 million. That's been raided from the Climate and Nature Infrastructure Fund, and guess where they're planning to channel that? Into biomethane boondoogle projects.
Biomethane was a big thing for the Green Party in government.
Well,
Eamon Ryan was pushing that very strongly.
Well, again, I'm not here to speak for the Green Party. I've looked into this in some depth, and biomethane is yet another way to, it's another way of shoring up the gas industry in Ireland. They've been promising us clean gas, clean hydrogen, biomethane, and the only people who are benefiting from biomethane are the gas industry, including Gas Networks Ireland and, of course, Bord Gáis Éireann. They're the people who are pushing this, and it's a shame to see funds that are supposed to be helping us with the climate crisis being diverted instead into creating biomethane. And lest we forget, biomethane is also methane, a powerful greenhouse gas, and producing biomethane in Ireland is a solution to nothing. What we should be doing, and this again is supposedly something to help farmers, but quite the opposite, what we should be doing for farmers, of course, is promoting solar farms and getting them out there right across Ireland.
Okay, let's go to something that the European Parliament has discussed. You know, burgers, steak and schnitzels are made of meat, real meat. They're not made of veggie and tofu and cauliflower, are they? I mean, the idea of a veggie burger, a tofu steak and a cauliflower schnitzel, that's an oxymoron, isn't it?
It is. Now, I decided, as you know, Matt, I always like to go the extra yard for this slot. So I decided to get out my dictionary of etymology to find out what the word meat actually means. And it comes from the old English word of meta, which means, quote, food or article of food. So the actual etymology of meat is simply the generic term for food, which is extra hilarious that the right wing in the European Parliament are jumping up and down demanding that dead animals be labelled as meat, right? If they want honesty in advertising, right, why not say, you know, let's call this, you know, dead cow, let's call this dead chicken, right? If you want to be absolutely specific as to what it is that you're selling. But this whole idea, and really it's yet another detour in the culture wars that we've seen time and time again, of demonizing. And it is important to say that the foods that are being demonized here are by and large foods that are also being produced by a group of people known as farmers. And here we have the livestock sector, the industrial livestock sector, yet again demonizing the work of other farmers. So when they attack vegetarians and when they attack vegans, they're not attacking hippies and greenies. They're attacking tillage farmers, they're attacking horticultural farmers who are actually producing these goods. So this is really ugly culture wars. And I'll give you a couple, Matt. You remember Kilmeaden, you remember the cheese? You might remember their slogan. It was called the fillet of cheddar. Do you think there's many people who think that cheese is actually made of meat, right? To use the phrase fillet. I'll give you another one. Hot dogs or beef tomatoes.
Fish fingers.
Shepherd's pie. Do you think there's actual shepherds in shepherd's pie? I've often wondered about that one. What about...
I know. In fairness, I think everyone knows shepherd's pie means it's a pie that's eaten by shepherds.
Well, I mean, does it? But like, surely if we're going to have the thought police coming out of Europe telling us what we can and can't name food, if they're going to be ridiculous about this, well then why not? We can no longer, for example, kidney beans. It's an outrage referring to beans that are actually, because as you know, there's no kidneys in a kidney bean. It's just shaped like that. Gummy bears, Matt, apparently there's no bear meat in gummy bears at all. So we need to look really at...
No bears were harmed in the making of this product.
No bears were harmed. Or hamburgers. Wait till they find out that there's no ham in a hamburger, right? This is all of this whole thing. I think one of the MEPs involved, they called it hot dog populism, right? This is at a time when we're facing, you know...
It was passed, though. There was a majority of the MEPs voted this way.
Yes, it was passed.
Is it binding now on the European Commission?
But I'll tell you as well, if you go back to last year, the European Court of Justice in 2024 ruled that plant-based products can, in fact, use what they call meaty names. So this ruling in the Parliament flies in the teeth of a legal ruling just last year by the European Court of Justice. Now, what this is ducks and drakes. This is pure nonsense populism. But I would come back to it again. This is not something that is helping farmers. This is the livestock industry trying to crush competition and trying to do down other farmers.
Listener says, Christmas is ruined. What happens to mincemeat pies?
Oh my God, mincemeat pies. Whatever next? Ban them.
Okay, we're out of time. We better leave it there. Thank you very much, John Givens, for being with us for our weekly environment spot. Coming up next, a little bit earlier than usual, we have Ian Guider joining us from the Business Post. Actually, another listener has made a suggestion of something that should be banned. Baby oil.
Oh,
is baby oil made out of babies?
Actual babies.
Right.
The last word.
With Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.